We all know we're made out of the same mud. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be sunk. But He's here, and He still moves, and He still saves, because He still loves, and He still cares, and He's still the best, and the greatest, and the highest, and the holiest, and the purest, and the mightiest, and so full of glory. Praise God. And that He would come. Amen. And spend time and deal with the likes of us is an awesome, gracious compliment to the mercies of God. Amen. But He does it because He loves us. Amen. So, I want to say a thank you to Bishop Wilson, his wonderful wife, Pastor Young, wonderful wife, the entire family, this great church. Thank you for your exceeding great and thorough hospitality. I'm going to tell you, you folks know how to make people feel so welcome. So welcome. So welcome. I don't know. I know you're standing, but remember, when you're seated, I'll still be standing. I don't know if Bishop Wilson told you all this, but we have some very, very good friends of ours that pastor a small home missions church in Canada. And they don't live in an easy part, if there is such a thing as an easy part, but they don't live in an easy part for revival. And they were here at No Limits, I believe it was this last year. And they came, and of course, the crowd was so huge. The building was so humongous. Everything was so nice. And they have their church, their working, praying, fasting, teaching, doing everything they know. And they were in one of the pastor's wife, she's the one who told me this, was in one of the restrooms. And one of the kind, exuberant ladies from the Rock Church was there and got to, hello, how are you? And where are you from? And from Canada, really? And we're here. My husband and I, we pastor a church, a home mission church. Said, really? How large is your church? And she said she was dying because they have about 10 people. And she didn't want to say 10 people so bad, she didn't want to say it. But she said, well, at this point we got about 10 people. And whoever you are out there that did this, you have no idea what you meant to that lady. Her face brightened up and said, praise the Lord! What opportunity, praise God! That's awesome! Hallelujah. And that pastor's wife said that they were some of the kindest words she'd heard all year long. Amen. It means something, folks, to take time to be good and kind. And I thought when I heard that, I thought that was either a ricochet off of Bishop Wilson or Sister Wilson or something. I mean, these people just bubble. Praise God. So here we are. Now, all right. We're about ready to sit down, aren't we? This is so stupid. Let's pray for a moment. God, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, God, you are so mighty. God, you are so mighty. God, you are so mighty. God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, ain't nothing like getting life changed at the last second. Praise God. Forget it, Brother King. It's over. Hallelujah. All right. Our dear sound man. 2 Kings chapter 6. Actually, it's not too bad. I walked out of the office between four messages. I went to the pulpit between two, and I thought for sure it was the other one. But that's just the way God works with me most of the time. And some of you, He likes you to know 6 months ahead of time. He wants to keep me humble. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter number 6, beginning with verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait or narrow for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Amen. Now, one more time, let's pray that our great, great, gracious, mighty, holy, holy God would touch our every single heart. Lord God, we stand in absolute awe of you. We ask God that you would minister very graciously, very wondrously and powerfully. With your word into our hearts, we commit this service into your hands in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. And I do thank you for your patience in standing with me. Now, this is a fairly self-explanatory reading of the Word of the Lord. Just a little bit of a backdrop so that we are all pretty much as possible on the same page here. We are dealing with a prophet and some up and coming prophets in the midst of a nation called Israel at a time that was not Israel's high water mark by way of spirituality. The kingdom of Israel that had been brought to its pinnacle by the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, and the blessings of God upon Solomon, who had a fabulous platform to build upon because of his faithful, godly, wise father David, a man had long since gone down the road. Solomon's son, due to Solomon's sins and his own foolishness, brought about a rending of that nation, the tribe of Judah and a portion of the Benjamites and many of the Levites that decided they would rather stay in Jerusalem temple area where there were still some regards to righteousness acknowledged. Amen. Did so, but the 10 northern tribes of Israel followed a man by the name of Jeroboam, whose kingdom lasted only through four generations, and then they were cut off, as it were, hip and thigh because of Jeroboam's grave sin and setting up golden calves at each end of the kingdom to save the people the trouble of going all the way down to Jerusalem and worshiping the one true God. And he, out of his insecurities and fears, set up golden calves at each end of the kingdom, said, "These be thy gods, O Israel." And so the people, for the most part, followed after his folly, and he brought about the ruination of Israel. Now, his house was, as I've stated, overthrown, as were some other houses of kings. And then we come to the reign of a man by the name of Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, of whom the scripture says, "Never was there a king that did give himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord as did Ahab and his wife Jezebel, which did stir him up." And during those days, God raised up this prophet Elisha's predecessor, Elijah, who we won't go into, but proved to be one of the greatest prophets that God ever produced. Amen. And he placed him in the middle of a very, very unrighteous, backslidden people. Elisha caught Elijah's mantle, his ministry, and now he is going about, amen, doing the kingdom such as it was, what service as he could. And it seems that in the midst of that backslidden nation, thank God for remnants of righteousness. Can you say amen? There were still men, and apparently young men, who desired to go, as it were, into the ministry. The Ahabs and Jezebels, amen, and now their sons, Ahijahs of this world, would not dissuade them away from the one true Jehovah God. And so they rallied round about this man, Elisha, as much as they could. And apparently the immediacy of direct, horrid, hideous persecution of the Ahab Jezebel era was at bay due to their ignominious deaths. Amen. And so now they had the luxury to go out and about and didn't have to be hid in caves and fed bread and water just to make it through. So here these young prophets were. They were in a prophet's abode. We do not know how many there was, but there was apparently several. And they said, "The house where we're living is just a little too small. And Elisha, what do you think about us building a bigger house?" And Elisha says, "Go ye." He apparently was a man of few words. And so they said, "Well, be content, we pray, and go with your servants." So his vocabulary picked up 30%. And he said, "I will go." Just a few words. And so he's there, probably not carrying on great dialogue, but he's there. The young prophets are working. They are felling trees to create beams, to build a larger house, amen, where they can be have greater advantage of study and prayer, amen, and more room for the great man of God to come and teach them, etc., etc., etc. We don't know exactly the details of how it all worked back in that particular ministry. But in the process of this process, while one of them was cutting down a tree or felling a beam, he was taking his swings, amen. They were by the river, and he had his axe. And when he swung back this one time, when he swung back to hit the tree, it just gave a little thunk, and he probably hurt his arm, amen. And he realized there's something wrong with the axe handle, and it's headless. It has no axe head. And they've heard a big splash as behind him, off in the river, the axe head hits the water. Now, this was the days before scuba equipment. And such like. And how in the world are you going to find an axe head in the muddy Jordan on a good day? And he says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Now, to add insult to his injury, it was not his axe head, his axe. He borrowed it from somebody. And you have to remember, this is before the days you could go down to Home Depot or Lowe's and pick up a new axe. Everything made in those days were literally hand-forged by that rare individual known as a blacksmith. And they tended to be few in Israel. Amen. Especially depending on the warring nations round about. And so be that as it may, this boy had a problem. And if I can stop here, it wasn't just, amen, his problem. But I'm going to have to go tell this man that I lost his axe head. We're not wealthy to begin with. Where are we going to do? And this isn't going to look good on me. And we're out here and we're men of God. And who's going to want to lend us anything from now on? And they're going to say, "Why didn't your God help you?" And God only knows all of the thoughts that were rushing through everybody's mind. But they did have enough sense to go to somebody that they knew, really knew God. And can I stop here and tell you that in your lifetime, you better know some people that really know God. And I'll do it one better. You need to be one of those people. There's every last one of us need to really know God. But whoever you are and wherever you are in this process of life, amen, I will liken this as I teach often in our church about what I call the tunnel. And in reference to holiness and a host of other things, literally. But holiness is like a tunnel in that there's a very bright, glorious light at one end of the tunnel. And there's a very dark, abysmal, amen, endlessly, hopelessly dark light or darkness at the other end of the tunnel. And so the most important thing about the tunnel is not where you are. The most important thing about the tunnel is the direction you're headed. Because if you're headed the right direction, eventually you're going to hit the light, praise God. But you can be a foot away and a banana peel slip from the light. And if you ever turn around and you start heading the wrong way, you may, in your turnaround, you may still be way ahead of a host of other people. But if you're going the wrong way and you're walking away from light into deeper and more and less, you still may be way ahead of a lot of people. But if you do not turn around, eventually you're going to make your way into an abysmal eternal darkness. And you can be one foot from that, but if you ever turn around and you don't ever turn back, you can make it to the glory world. And you can mark this down, that wherever you are in the tunnel, wherever you are in the tunnel, as you head towards the light, there is always somebody ahead of you and somebody behind you. And so if I can apply that to this, we need to know God for ourselves as close as is spiritually, humanly possible. And that's greatly possible. More than we can imagine. But you better know some people, and you can mark this down. However close you are to God, there's people closer. And I'm going to tell you something Larry Booker decided a long time ago. Wherever and whoever those people are, God, lead me to them. I want to find them. I want to find them. I want to meet them. God, if you'll allow it, I want to befriend them and vice versa, because I need to know people that know God. Put me around people that know God, that know the voice of God and the ways of God and the Word of God and the mind of God and the Spirit of Almighty God. Because somewhere, someplace, sometime, in one way, shape, form, or the other, you can mark it down, you're going to lose the accent. You're going to lose something. Something will slip away, fly away, fall away, in one form or the other. And we're going to say, and I'm going to tell you, there's people I know to call. There's people in my life that I know who to call. And say, this is the silly prophet here. And something just flew off the handle. And I need prayer. And I know you can touch God. There has to be those kind of people in your life. And if you'll pray for them, God will put them there. God will put them there. Now, so he says, show me the place, not where it was. It's out there somewhere. Yeah, in that area somewhere. What did you say? About there. And he said, okay. And the prophet, he cuts down a stick. Amen. It's really profound. He never says nothing. He just cuts a stick. And he throws the stick out about where it hit. And people are just watching. That's a cool deal, I guess. And while they're watching this stick float in the water, all of a sudden, the stick moves because something bumps it. And they're looking, and the iron did swim. I don't think it grew arms and did the backstroke. But I can see it in my mind's eye. Maybe it's just moving back and forth. And it's coming towards the shore. And everybody's... And the guy that lost it is checking it out. And so while they're doing that and everybody's watching it, Elisha really waxed eloquent. He said, take it up to thee. I mean, he could have said, pick it up. But take it up to thee. And so the guy, he reaches out. And he picks it up. And it is heavy. He knows. And he puts it on the axe. He does whatever he's got to do to make sure it don't fly off the handle. And he goes back to business. But that boy never forgot that as long as he lived. And God put it in his eternal word. And heaven will pass away and earth will pass away. But that story will never pass away. Because he wants us to know, amen, that if need be, for his people's sake, iron will swim. Iron will swim. And we know that all laws of science and nature tell us that iron of any size, be it whatever, Amen. If it's huge or small compared to the density of water, will absolutely sink unless God says, no, not this time. I want it to swim. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? We are not in that day and time. We are not dealing with the Ahijahs, the Ahabs, the Jezebels of that time. We are in the 21st century. We are 8 years now into the 21st century. We are living in a time like the world has never quite seen. Now, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the coming of the Son of Man. And so in those regards, all of those rampant, vile, in-your-face, promiscuous, mind-boggling sins are very, very, very much alive and well in our society. Amen. In fact, it's to the degree, and I'm not just playing on words and quoting nice little quotes that people make, but it's so bad that if God somewhere, someplace, sometime, soon does not pay the United States of America a visit and does not pay Europe a visit, and let alone the rest of the world, He's going to have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah's world and dust them off and wipe them off, amen, and kiss them on the forehead and make an apology for allowing this generation to become so debauched and Him not judge it. I am of the personal opinion, amen, that the only reason that God in His mercy, and let's just bring it home, okay, has not yet judged California as it should be judged is for the principle that He gave Abraham concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. If I can find just 50 righteous, if I can find just 40, if I can find just 30, if I can find just 10, can I propose to you, it's the one God, Jesus' name, apostolic, holiness, loving churches, I believe that's keeping the state of California afloat. And God only knows how one God, Jesus, name, apostolic, holiness, loving churches are affecting the United States of America in ways of mercy. But I will tell you, when the moment came that Sodom and Gomorrah did not have 10 left, it was the kiss of death. That's the reason every single one God, Jesus' name, apostolic, holiness-loving churches are so desperately important. God only knows what's hanging in the balances. When people take their stands or give up on them, there's a whole lot more that's being weighed in the balance than just their personal creature comforts and the things they want to do and the things they want to let go of and the things they're tired of. No, 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 no. You do not realize the spiritual implications of every decision we make. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I've seen parents fight with their kids. I knew of a 16-year-old girl. She was beautiful. She was the star of her class. She was, if not a cheerleader material. No, that would have been if she kept. But she prayed through an apostolic revival. Amen. And her skirt lengths over a process of time came to its proper place below the knee. And her necklines went up. She quit cutting her hair. Her mother could not understand it. Her mother was so angry. Her mother began to badger her. Her mother began to fight her. Her mother began to give her on and on every day. When she'd go to church, she'd go out of the house listening to her. When she'd come back in, amen, with the glory of God on her, amen, as far as that girl had to pay for it due to the ragging, nagging of her mother. Never stop. Amen, why don't you do that? Why are you? What's happening to you? And on 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 and on. And finally, one day, the mother, in a rage, probably out of condemnation because the girl, amen, was going somewhere where she was not, amen. Nevertheless, she looked at her one day, and in a screaming rage, she said, I'd rather you be a streetwalker than go down to that church. And 3 years later, they rushed that mother to an emergency room because she had slashed both wrists in a bathtub because her daughter had been the vilest streetwalker in that small town because one day she gave up and she said, Mama, you don't want me to live holy? Mama, you don't want me to live righteous? And I'm going to show you the flip side. And when Mama saw the flip side, she crawled into the bathtub and slit her wrists and would have given anything for that girl to go back to be a holiness-loving, Jesus' name apostolic young person. You better be careful. I got a little message I preach sometimes called So Easy to Speak, So Hard to Recover. Amen. It means something. God only knows what's all in the scales, brothers and sisters, of your continued faithfulness and your walking and talking with Jesus. But with all of that said, in this 21st century, amen, with still the Ahabs and the Jeroboams and the Jezebels and the Athalias and the Abijahs and thank God for the Elijahs and the Elishas and all of the things that still come into play in one way, shape, or form. I'll never forget Brother I.H. Terry telling me one time, he said, Larry Booker, if you pastor and live long enough, you'll see every single story in the Bible played out before your eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. The elder was right. It's all here. But here's what I want to talk about. In this 21st century, with so much gloom and doom, so much that's gone in this North American society, Here's the title of my message, brothers and sisters. The iron still swims. The iron still swims. There's still young men that are saying, I want to be a prophet. I don't care what anybody says. There's still young men and women that are saying, hey, count me in. I want to live for God. I don't care what Jezebel and Ahab does. It's in my heart. If I end up having to live and hide in the cave and drink bread and water, so be it. My mind's made up. I want to be a child of God. I want to be used of God. It doesn't matter if it's Elisha's century or the 21st century. Brother and sister, there's still people that want to make it. And there's a bunch of them in this house right now. And there's a bunch of young people in this house right now. Not every young person's going to hell on a sled. Not every young person is sleeping around. Not every young person is slipping off to the movies. I'm telling you, there's young men and women that have made up their mind. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But in our best estate, somewhere, someplace, sometime, something's going to fly off the handle. And that doesn't mean you get out of the ministering business. Doesn't mean you just, chuck it. Forget it. I lost it. How am I going to knock down a tree with a stick? I had to have that axe handle. Sometimes, if you're not careful, it can seem like you've lost something intrinsic to success. Gone to a place from which it will never rise again. That's where you better know some people that know how to pray. You better know a pastor and a pastor's wife that can still touch God. You better have some phone numbers of some good people and precious saints. Amen. You can say, hey, I've hit up against something. It's never been quite on this wise. Would you help me pray? Would you help me pray? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do from here. I don't know how I'm going to ever get anything done. But brother, can I tell you, there's still men of God around. There's still women of God around. There's still prophets and prophetesses. There's still people that know God and can't touch God. And as you go and live for God, the day will come. You will become that in somebody else's life. And he went to the man of God. And the man of God did not look at him and say, boy, you are stupid. Why didn't you soak that handle? Why didn't you put a wedge in there? Why didn't you drive down a nail? Why didn't you? Put his hand on his shoulder and said, where'd you lose it? And when he asks you where you lost it, you need to be willing. Right there. Right there. I lost it right there. Don't say, well, the guy borrowed the handle from me, the axe from him. I don't know why he did. No. And Brother Sam, he was using it for I was. I don't know if he. No. You're not going to get anywhere and grow anywhere. Till you can say, I was right here. And I was doing thus and so when I lost it. Any idea where it went? Well, now, that was an easy one to answer. Right over there, I heard a big kaplop. Because sometimes that's a hard one to answer. But in that case, it's out there, right there, somewhere. Takes a stick, he cuts it, throws it in. And again, something that seemed sunk and forever gone, irretrievable and out of sight, came floating to the surface against all laws of nature. And didn't just float tantalizing, it began to make its way towards you. And when he said, fetch it. Pick it up. He could have said, I want another miracle. Make it jump on the axe head. No. In this restoration process, you're going to be part of the process. You reach down. You pick it up. You put it back. You got to put it back where it belongs. You got to set it on there. You got to soak that axe handle in a few days of prayer. You got to do whatever you got to do to make sure it don't go nowhere. And now get back into the chopping business and get back into the work of God and get back into the kingdom of God. Because I'm here to tell you, the iron still swims. The iron still swims. God is still God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care if it's the 21st century. I don't care if you're living in North America, Canada. I'm here to tell you, God is still on the throne. He's still got men and women of God. He's got boys.
going to live for Him.
And He still answers prayer. He still answers prayer. He still answers prayer. If you pray, He'll answer. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it shall be open. Because the iron still swims. The iron still swims. I've not pastored as long as Brother Ice Terry has. I didn't live as old as he has. I've sure seen a lot. That's pretty neat. Remember Sister Johnny. I remember the first time they ever showed up. Husband was a trucker. He came one time. He didn't like it at that time. Had a little boy and a little girl. I remember the day Johnny got the Holy Ghost. We were pastoring in Miami, Oklahoma. About 35 or 40 of us there in that auditorium. And we were preaching and the Holy Ghost got to moving. And people started standing. And I looked over there and Sister Johnny started getting her hands up in the air. Hadn't baptized her yet. Wasn't calling her Sister Johnny yet. But she just started shaking. And I was going back and forth by the pulpit. And I saw her and I slammed on the pulpit. But I won't do something. Break that one. I slammed. I don't want to break my fist either. Anyway, I slammed on the pulpit. And I said, if you jump up and down and scream, God will give you the Holy Ghost right now. She went, ah! She jumped up, and when she hit the ground, she was talking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the evidence. Now, biggest reason I was screaming was because of the anointing of God. But it also didn't hurt because Johnny's husband was parked as close as he could get, it seemed like, to our front door in his big diesel rig that he refused to shut off and he knew was vibrating our whole church. And so, fine, I can turn up the speakers. And here we go. So now Johnny's jumping up and down, speaking in other tongues, and she gets out. Now she's hopping. She's hopping all around the church like a rabbit, talking in tongues. Her husband Les is sitting out there. He's got his cigarette. His rig running. And all of a sudden the front door flies open. And here's his wife hopping, talking in other tongues, amen, all around his church. I mean, it was his church, his truck. And she finally hopped in and they left. And after a while, I baptized him, baptized the kids, baptized her. I'm going to tell all the stories. They're funny. But he was off out of town and one thing led to another. They lived 20 miles out from the town, out in the woods, and she hadn't been able to be in church for 2 weeks. And it was on a Saturday night, and the kids were crying. We want to go to church, Mama. She goes, I want to go too. Then she said, I promise you, tomorrow morning we're going to church. And so, the next morning, she gets out there, the kids get in. She starts the car, and she starts backing up. She shuts the car off, gets out, and she goes, and the back tire, passenger side, is flatter than a flitter. So, she opens the trunk, digs around, finds a spare, starts to pull it out. It's so flat, it is off the rim. Flat. And she starts crying. And the kids are crying. She said, get in the car. Mama, what are we going to do? Get in the car. She gets in the car. She starts it up. Mama, where are we going to go? We're going to church. And she starts And she goes over the gravel, turns around in the gravel. She starts down the gravel driveway. She gets on the pavement, clung. She said, I don't care if I tear that rim to pieces, let alone the tire. I'm going to church today if I got to drive like this. Mama, I don't feel that no more. I don't either. Keep praying. And they drove 20 miles on a full tire. You know why? The iron still swims. And God is still the same. And He ain't never changed. And He ain't never gonna change. Was she late for church? Yes. Did she make it to church? You better believe it. Did she come into the church hopping and talking in tongues? Yes! Can I tell you something? This God is big. This God is mighty. This God is powerful. She shared it with us. She had a testimony. The kids were beaming. And we went out to look at the tire. It was flat. And we looked at the spare. She said, well, it wasn't. And we knew that. Or it had been stripped to pieces. But 40 yards away was an old used tire shop that the guy stayed open on Sunday. And we pitched in and got her $6 and got her a good used tire. Put it on there. And she was back that night. Can I tell you something? The iron still swims, brothers and sisters. He's still in the business. If you want to go to church and you want it bad enough and you go, I'm here to tell you, He'll make a way. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Because my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because the iron still swims. I remember one Saturday morning, we were going out on a visitation. I said, today, let's everybody pray about where God wants you to go. We prayed and prayed and prayed. One lady stood up because I feel like I need to go to F Street. Another lady said, I feel the same thing. So they did. They parked their car. And the very first house they went up to, they knocked on the door. A little woman opened up. They handed her the tract. We're from First Pentecostal Church. Blah, 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 blah. She said, you're Pentecostals? They said, yes. She said, 3 days ago, I prayed because 10 years ago, I went to a Pentecostal church and I felt something that I'd never felt anywhere in my life. And 3 days ago, I said, God, I want to be saved.
Holy Ghost Radio. We are Acts 2:38 Salvation Message compliant. Are you?
That the Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot, it's cutting edge, it's on the level, it's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38, because that's the message that's relevant to every generation. Get saved, it's going to have to be at a Pentecostal church. She said, and here you are. And so here she came. And she got baptized and was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Her mother was 91 years old. She was a sweet little lady. She was bedfast when I met her. One day Lucille called me and said, you need to come and pray. My mother just got back home from the Indian hospital. They diagnosed her as completely full of cancer. They said it is so bad that in with her age, that chemo would be an absolute total waste of time. And I got there and I began to talk to her about how God understands everything. He's a faithful God. And she said, wait. She said, Pastor Booker, if you're coming to comfort me, I don't need no comfort. She brought out a big old bottle of oil. She said, I brought you here to pray for my mama so God can heal her. I said, of course. Amen. So we prayed for her mama. Lightning didn't flash, thunder didn't roll. Lucille looks up and said, isn't that awesome? Sure is. God's awesome. And then one day, she showed up at church. She said, I spent all day at the Claremore Indian Hospital. I said, yeah. She said, well, I got a story to tell. She said, they taken x-rays of my mother. And this is what they showed. All her cancer throughout her body was gone. Except, said there is a small round cancer in the middle of her tummy. It's the only thing left. And they said, now, Lucille, as good as she's doing now, and this recovery, it's just that cancer, we could treat that with chemo, and I think she's going to be fine. She said, so what do I do? My deal is, God, why didn't you take that while you were at it? I mean, how hard would it be just to take that? I said, let me pray. I said, when you got to know? She goes, well, I got to tell him next week. And I prayed. I couldn't come up with nothing. And I said, they say it won't hurt her. They said, well, she'll lose her hair, but they said it'll be okay. I never understood. I said, well, okay. But I understood in just a couple of weeks because they put her in Joplin. And they were due the chemo. And she'd have to go in 3 times a week, every other day. But every other day, 3 times a week, when her mama was in chemo, she started at the bottom floor of the hospital, and she walked into every single room in that hospital over and over again over the next 6 weeks, saying, I want to tell you about my Jesus. I want to tell you about what my God did. I want to tell you how He saved me. I want to tell you what He did for my mama. And she witnessed repeatedly to everyone. You know what? I'm just telling you, God's big and God's smart and God's mighty. And I'm going to tell you something else. The iron still swims. And I'll tell you something else. It took care of her mama's cancer. I'll tell you something else. She didn't lose a hair of her head. I'll tell you something else. It didn't affect her appetite. She kept eating and eating like a horse. Kept putting on weight through the whole thing. Can I tell you something? The iron still swims. And God's still big. And God's still mighty. It don't matter who you are, where you are, what you're facing. My God is able! The iron still swims! I pastored Brother David Lee Floyd from 1977 to 1981, 4 years to the day. It took me a while to realize who it was I was pastoring. Brother Floyd got the Holy Ghost in 1910. He was baptized in Jesus' name in 1915 in Houston, Texas. Charles Smith preached, and he caught the revelation. Charles Smith and Lee Floyd went together up to Elton Bible Conference in Elton, Louisiana, the same year, 1915. And there he and Charles Smith taught on the fact there is but one God, and His name is Jesus. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And when you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're baptizing in the name of the Father who became Son and is now the Holy Ghost, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And they were there, and the picture that Sister Agnew painted of the pond there at Elton outside of the town of Elton. I can't think of the name of the pond. Begins with a P. Powell's Pond. Thank you, Sister Young. And so they were there. Brother Lee Floyd was there. Charles Smith baptizing all of those people in the beautiful, beautiful name of Jesus. Now, all those years later, I was his pastor, and I interviewed him, and I taped him in 13 tapes. I lost tape 7. I can't find it nowhere. Please, God help us. But the stories that he told and the things that happened, like the day the iron still swims, the day he was walking, amen, from the Miami area over to Neosho, Missouri, because he had a preaching engagement and he didn't have a vehicle and nobody could give him a ride, and it was a hot day. If he was going to be there that night, he had to make it, and he didn't drink enough water, and he had no food on him, and he hadn't eaten the breakfast yet, and it was getting hotter and hotter, and he was walking in that sweltering humidity, and he was so tired, and he was getting weaker and weaker, and finally he got down on his knees and he said, "Jesus, I'm just trying to do your will, God. You've got to help me. I'm so thirsty and I'm hungry and I'm getting weaker by the minute. God, I'm just trying to do your will." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Open your eyes." And he opened his eyes. He said, in front of him, in a perfect, perfect rectangle, like 3 foot by 2 foot, was a patch of gorgeous, beautiful, ripe, fresh strawberries. He said, "They were not there when I kneeled down." He said, "I took one He said, "I took another, took another." He said, "I ate every one there." He said, "I was no longer thirsty. I was no longer hungry. I was no longer weak. And I was so full of faith. Because, brothers and sisters, the iron still swims. And God has not changed." He was there back in the days, Sister Young, in them piney woods. I can't think of her maiden name, but she became Sister LaFleur. Was playing the piano. Her and her sister, they lived together way back about 3 miles away from the church. And she was the church piano player. And she was playing the piano, not just playing it. She was playing in the Holy Ghost. She was enjoying herself to the max. And her sister was getting dressed for church. She kept saying, "Sissy, come on. We got to go to church. Sissy, you got to get ready." And she's playing for the glory of God. But she said, "I'm leaving." And she left her. She began her 3-mile trek through the piney woods. And as she started getting closer to the church house, she heard piano music. And it was the same song her sister was playing. And it sounded a lot like her sister. And she went into the church house. And there was her sister sitting at the piano, the church piano, playing the same song in the Holy Ghost in her church dress. God had dressed her for church and translated. Because the iron still swims. And God is still the same. And in this 21st century, I'm going to tell you something. Church, please, I'm begging you. Listen to me. We can't afford to lose that. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. We need to dig that out and brush it off and clean it up. There is no telling what we're going to see before we get out of here. Our God's big, our God's mighty, our God's great. Several years ago, I was preaching in Louisiana. Brother Bonnie Lacombe was sitting down. He said, "You know Brother Davis, the pastor's there in Elton." I said, "Yeah, I know Brother Davis." He said, "I'm going to tell you a neat story." I said, "Okay." Brother Davis, pastor's there in Elton, he said he got a phone call one day. And somebody, an elderly lady, could tell by her voice, said, "Are you a pastor?" "Yes." "Would you be willing to come pray for my mother?" "I thought, your mother?" I said, "Well, sure." She said, "Now, can I ask you what kind of minister you are?" I said, "I'm Pentecostal." I said, "Good. That's the kind my mama wants. She wants a Pentecostal preacher." So he goes to the house, and he said a woman looked like in her late 70s, maybe early 80s, answered the door and said, "My mother's in the back room." He said, "Okay." He went back there, and there she was, tiny, tiny little darling. Amen. Just frail. And he began to talk to her. They talked back and forth. And by and by, he said, "I want to pray for you." And he laid hands on her and he began to pray for her. And in a little while, she began speaking in other tongues. The Spirit of God gave the utterance. And then, when he was through, and he continued to talk to her, she was so animated and excited. And he's talking to her, and she's coming alive. Finally, he said, "Ma'am, you have spoken tongues before today." She said, "No, and I've wanted this all my life." This was in 2003. And he said, "You're kidding." She said, "No. I've wanted this ever since I was 15 years of age." She said, "I was 15 years old. And I was walking through the piney woods. And I heard music and singing and worship and praying. And I began to make my way towards the sound." And she said, "The closer I got, the more I could feel something like I never felt before." And said, "I came out of the clearing, and there was Powell's Pond, and there was cars there, and the trees and the hanging moss." And said, "There was people everywhere down there, and they were shouting, worshiping, and they were making a really big deal out of baptizing these people in Jesus' name," and said people were just talking in tongues. She said, "I had never felt anything like that in my life." And she said, "I want that." And she said, "I was going to run around the pond and say, 'Me too, me too.'" Then she thought, "I'd probably better at least ask my mom and daddy." And so she took off and she ran through the pine woods. She got to her mom and daddy all excited. And they said, "Don't you go near those Pentecostals. They're full of the devil." She said, "So I obeyed my mom and dad. And I never So all these years, I've made a big mistake here. Back up. When she said she'd never spoken tongues before, and they were talking along, she said, "Now, Pastor, is there anything else I have to do?" He said, "Well, yes, there is one thing." She said, "What's that?" He said, "You have to be baptized in Jesus' name." She reached out and grabbed him, pulled him down. "You baptize in Jesus' name?" He said, "Yes." She said, "I've waited for you for 75 years. Then she told him the story I just told you. She said, "My mom and dad would not let me get baptized. But all these years, I would pray and pray. And I would say, 'Oh God, please, before I die, I'm begging you, let me have what those folks had. And let me get baptized the way those folks were baptizing.'" And she said, "I've been waiting for you." It was not 75 years. It was 89 years. Because she was 103 in 1915 and year 2003. He said, "Well, ma'am, I'll be happy to baptize you." She said, "Will you baptize me in Powell's Pond?" He said, "Ma'am, I don't even know who owns Powell's Pond, but you'll do it, won't you?" He said, "I'll try." He finally had to sign waivers to get permission from the owners of Powell's Pond. But he took this little 103-year-old darling, walked down into the water, holding it in his arms, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, took her all the way under the water and brought her all the way back up, where she proceeded to speak in tongues again. And 1 month later, she went to go be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus! Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, the iron still swims. God's still on the throne. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you're facing. My God is still big. Does everybody stand? I could go on for hours. I'm telling you, I could go on. Musicians, come. Give them hope. Praise God. I was talking to Brother Floyd in the course of the tapes. When he died, he and an Assembly of God minister were the only two men left alive. That was in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914 when they formed the Assemblies of God. He and that other man were the only two men left alive. That was in St. Louis, Missouri in 1916 where they showed the oneness, the door. And 156 preachers walked out to take their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of this glorious apostolic gospel. While the congregation said, "Blessed, blessed," sang, "Blessed, blessed, Holy Trinity." They went to Eureka Springs. Brother Floyd was the first secretary. Howard Goss, the first treasurer. D.C. Opperman, for superintendent. They formed it. 1917. Wasn't accepted by the government. It was too close to the war. And one thing led to another. Brother French and I went on the Azusa trip. And we talked all about it. It's fascinating history. But he started an orphanage. And he had the Bethany Orphanage. I went to the site and stood there looking at the building that is on the site of the old Bethany Orphanage. There's a picture I've got somewhere of Brother Floyd and Pop Williams' wife, Mary Williams, Mary Krause at that time. Several others, about 65, 70 young children. 1917, 1918, 1919, 1920, somewhere. And when they took their stand for the name of Jesus, amen, things were cut off. Before that happened, they went to the downtown theater, invited, put handbills out, invited the whole town to come out. "Hear the children of the orphanage sing! And here's some good old preaching." And the place was full. He said, "Brother, Book of One Night, the Holy Ghost fell." were singing, and they started dancing in the Holy Ghost. He said everybody was on their feet, said the glory of God was falling in the house. Said there was one little sister. So I went through the tapes. I thought her name was Virginia, but her name was, it was Dorothy. Said Dorothy was dancing. And said, Brother Booker, it's like a maestro. All the music going. Everybody singing and shouting and worshiping and dancing. And said, it's like the maestro brought down the baton. And everybody stopped. Except Dorothy. Everybody stopped. And all eyes went to Dorothy. Dorothy didn't stop. She was dancing in the Holy Ghost and got closer and closer to the pulpit or the lectern and the orchestra pit, which they had in those days, with all of its chairs and music stands. And then 8-9 feet away was where the seats began coming up. And said she was dancing, oblivious. All eyes on her. You could hear a pin drop. And said Dorothy stepped off the edge of the orchestra pit. And everybody went, and she danced in midair before every filled seat in that auditorium. Oblivious to everybody but her God. She moved around the lectern. Her feet hit the other side. And she was back on terra firma. Said as soon as she hit the other side, it's like, amen, the maestro said, strike up the band. And Brother Floyd said, Brother Booker, the Holy Ghost fell. And over 200 people instantly were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? The iron still swims. My God is as strong today as He's ever been. He loves just as much now as He ever has. And we are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. When I make this statement, I'm going to clarify it in a minute. But, is there any young prophets in the house tonight? Is there any young prophets? Is there any hungry young men? Hungry young ladies? I'm passing through this life one time. And maybe right now the hand of Noah is still on the axe handle. But I want to do something for God before I die. I want my life to mean something for God. I want to see God move in the 21st century. I want to see God move in my life. I want to see God move in my church. Whether you feel a call to the ministry or not, if that is beating in anybody's heart, and you want to say, me too, count me in. I believe the iron still swims.
I believe I'll see it swim in my life. I'm passing through one time. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see the glorious. I want this one God, Jesus' name, apostolic message on my lips and in my heart.
looking at potential here tonight. I'm looking at unbelievable potential here tonight. Brother Pastor! Pastor's wife, look at these young men! Look at these young ladies! Look at the hunger! Look at the desire! Willing to pray for these young people. You'd be willing to step out where you are. Lay your hands on them. Pass the mantle. Let them know God's still big. God's still mighty. God still moves. God still alive. God still touching.
Whatever you do,
me. Sir, the iron still swims.
Acts 2:38 salvation message compliant. Are you?
That the Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot, it's cutting edge, it's on the level, it's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38, because that's the message that's relevant to every generation.